The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Have a listen to this.
The risk benefits of Vaxzevria may vary with age. As alternative COVID-19 vaccines are available in Ireland, NIAC has revised recommendations for the use of this vaccine, trying to take all of these factors into account. Thus, recommendations are that any authorised COVID-19 vaccine, including Vaxzevria, is recommended for those aged 60 years and older. Vaxzevria is not recommended for those aged under 60 years of age, including those with medical conditions that place them at very high risk or high risk of severe COVID disease.
Now that's Professor Karina Butler, Chair of the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, NIAC, recommending the suspension of the AstraZeneca vaccine, also known as Vaxzevria, for those under 60. We've got two people on the line, Ray Wally, North Dublin GP, a member of the National COVID-19 GP Liaison Committee, and Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, Luke O'Neill. Good morning to you both. Luke, we were talking earlier about all of this, and the risks are, as we know, fairly minimal. But it appears that the reason that they have given this advice is that they have alternatives. But Dr. Niamh O'Connell, who was on with us earlier, was saying, you know, the risk is minimal. And you've been saying that ever since this news broke of different age cohorts being recommended something other in different countries.
That's right, Pat. I mean, I hope they know something we don't, by which I mean there must be loads of extra vaccine coming in to make up the difference here, because if this decision means we delay our vaccination campaign and we push that out, that will put people's lives and health in danger, you know? Now, it is true we have other vaccines, which is great. And they've said this. If we only had AstraZeneca, they wouldn't have done this. It would be given to everybody, you know? So they must have confidence in the vaccine supply, which is a good thing, and I've no reason to doubt that necessarily. I'd say as well, Pat, we're following Germany, the Netherlands, Portugal and Spain, remember? They've said only over 60s. We're not following the UK, who are giving it to people, you know, under 60. So it's a bit of an opinion thing based on different countries and their approach. And the EMA keeps saying give it to everybody, you know. But I guess it's just a decision they decided to go for. And as I say, our hope has to be now that they don't sort of endanger the vaccination campaign in terms of supply.
Yeah, I was reading a piece in the British Medical Journal quoting the head of the vaccination program in the UK. And he is quoted as saying, I am not saying do not give this to any age cohort. You say, you know,
yeah, exactly.
That's not the rule. It's fine to give it to anybody of any age, any gender. It's fine to give it. There are certain risks which are so minimal. Carry on, more or less.
Exactly. Yeah, but the most important thing, Pat, now is everybody over 60 should take this vaccine. This shouldn't put them off. Now they will be anxious and hesitant, of course, with this. Every day the news changes with this vaccine, doesn't it? So it's understandable there'll be hesitancy now and worry about it. You know, but absolutely take the vaccine if you're over 60, because the risk of having severe disease, as we know, and really awful consequences from COVID are very, very high if you're in that group. And this vaccine will protect you. That's the key message to get across today, really.
I'm reading some of the text coming in from our News Talk listeners. I am very upset by last night's announcement. We know that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, rather than the AstraZeneca, were given to the older cohort of the population as they were the most vulnerable to serious disease. So they were given, and this is a quote from the texter, the better and more effective vaccines. So how can it be right now that the older cohort of the population, i.e. those 60 to 70 who are vulnerable to more serious disease than younger people, are given AstraZeneca, while younger and less vulnerable people are to get the better vaccines with higher efficacy? People who are less vulnerable are now being given the more effective vaccine. You can see why people would be cheesed off with Yeah, go on.
Absolutely, Pat. This is what this is causing now, this awful consternation in the community, isn't it? For understandable reasons, you know. But we just have to reassure people and say this vaccine will give you 100% protection against severe disease and death if you're over 60. Tiny, tiny risk of anything happening in terms of clotting. Remember, it's infinitesimally small risk of getting a clot from this vaccine. So please take the vaccine is the message. But exactly, Pat. I mean, there's loads of people in my lab this morning now, right? They're all going, what the hell is going on? This is terrible, you know. And they're immunologists, you know, so this is causing consternation. Keep the ship steady, Pat, is the message. I mean, remember, we're going to have lots and lots of different vaccines here in the next month or two, and we will get there in the end. As I say, my only fear is it will delay the vaccination campaign. That's my only fear about this now, and let's hope it doesn't.
I'll give you more of the feelings that possibly shared by some of your people in the lab. I feel the over 60s have been thrown to the wolves. If it's not suitable for the under 50s, but let the over 60s get the clots, it's despicable. I'm 69. I will not take the Astra. I am raging. They're only interested in numbers and units. To hell with the humans. That's from Breege. Another one. I'm 67. I'm very worried. AstraZeneca now not given to under 60-year-olds and not given to the over 70s. So how do I believe that it's okay if you're between 61 and 69? I mean, this is the messaging is right. That is, you know, it's desperate, really.
Yeah. I mean, other countries, you know, Canada and France have said over 55. Australia says over 50, right? Belgium says over 56. Britain says over 30, by the way. They're not giving it to the under 30. So you'll see different countries using different age cutoffs. We've been extremely conservative with 60. You know, I might have gone for over 50 or over 40 because, as you know, with the usual statistical thing, that would be a sensible thing to do. But they decided to go for the over 60s. But as I say, I know people are annoyed and upset. Take the vaccine if you're over 60, because if you get infected with this virus, it'll do you real harm. You're at risk of clots, of death, you know, awful long COVID. So, and this vaccine is a great way to stop all that.
Yeah, this over 60 cohort who will not take the Oxford jab are playing Russian roulette with their lives. That's from Katz.
Yeah, they are a bit. So, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they are. That's true. Yeah, I think as we say, I mean, we know the risks are high over 60 of severe disease and really awful consequences if you get infected. So the sensible thing to do actually is to take the vaccine, even though you might be up in arms about what's happened here. I think that's the key advice.
I'm a healthcare worker, age 49. I was called for my first AstraZeneca vaccine yesterday. It was given to me at 3:30 in the afternoon. I was fully aware of the risks and willing to follow through. But why were we not told when it was known by the HSE that it was going to be pulled for those under 60? We should have been told this yesterday. So we could have made the choice at that point not to go ahead and therefore reschedule for a different vaccine. I suppose there had to be a point in time when they made the decision and they did suspend the administration of the vaccine for today while they reorganize. But there's got to be reassurance there. I mean, I know people who are in the age cohort of over 60 and under 70 who'll stick their arm out immediately for AstraZeneca because they're more concerned of the consequences from getting the condition itself.
Yeah, and I suspect, Pat, the 16-week gap is probably going to be to see if another vaccine could be used. Remember this idea? You give AstraZeneca first and maybe Pfizer second. There'll be more evidence building up for that now in the next few weeks. And if the evidence is strong that that's going to be fine, you might well find that the second shot people will get will be Pfizer. Remember, Pat, if we were like Israel, when only Pfizer was there, we wouldn't have this problem, would we? You know, the problem is simply down to supply from different vaccine companies. That's all that's driving this, really. If we load the Pfizer, no problem. Everybody takes Pfizer, as happened in Israel.
This text here says, I'd rather the HSE would have given the public the option to take the vaccine instead of doing nothing today. They said yesterday, anyone who wants to show up your local centre today, if they said yesterday, well, I'd be in the queue overnight. I'm 42. That's from John, who says, you know, he's weighed up the risks, minimal as they are, and he'd prefer to have the vaccine than not. By the way, Luke, before I let you go, because I thank you very much for coming on unscheduled today. We normally talk to you on Monday and Thursday. Just that latest stuff from China about the efficacy of their vaccines. They've had to eat humble pie a bit, haven't they?
They have. They aren't quite as efficacious. They're still good, though. I mean, they're still, 50, 60%, which is still high for a vaccine, remember. Not quite as good as the other vaccines, I guess. And they're going to change the protocol slightly, actually, Pat, to improve the efficacy, which they'd achieve, by the way. They'll tweak it a bit, you know, and make sure it's as efficacious as the others.
Yeah. All right, Luke. Thank you very much. That's Professor Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. And he, of course, will be back with us on Thursday for the latest in all the vaccine and coronavirus science. Ray Wally, North Dublin GP and member of the National COVID-19 GP Liaison Committee, has been listening to that conversation. Ray, it's undoubtedly sown a lot of confusion in the general public, including, I'm sure, among GPs who don't know what vaccine they'll be getting and to whom to give it and when they'll get supplies.
Good morning, Pat. Yeah, and I think we need to put things in context. We have 34 million people who have been vaccinated in the UK and the European Economic Area. And out of that, there have been 160 cases of the rare cerebral venous sinus thrombosis and equally rare 53 cases of splanchnous vein thrombosis. neither of which I've ever come across in my career, and you'd have many careers of a general practitioner to meet those cases. But equally, as Karina Butler said this morning, we're talking 4 to 10 cases per million. And these are all individuals. So it is an abundance of caution that they are practicing. I'm heartened by the fact that the population that is between 60 and 69 years of age is in the order of 400,000 people. And my understanding is we're getting 800,000 vaccines of AstraZeneca in. And I do believe it is a effective vaccine, and with a rarer chance of getting a clot with that vaccine. And the older are, the rarer that chance occurs.
Yeah. Now, earlier on in the programme, when we were talking to Niamh O'Connor, we were actually talking about the symptoms to look out for if you are one of those rare people who might suffer from it. And it appears to me that the most important thing is that anyone getting AstraZeneca, that the leaflet be updated and their attention drawn to this possibility. If you have any of these symptoms, to go to your GP or A&E or whatever it is, if they are persistent, because it turns out that these conditions, if they are caught, they're eminently treatable anyway, these clots.
Yes, caught, and the condition is 1 in 100,000 people after vaccination with AstraZeneca, you get a very rare case. It could be presenting with breathlessness, pain in chest or stomach, leg swelling, severe or worsening headache or blurred vision, persistent bleeding under the skin with no previous injury, multiple small bruises, reddish or purplish, spots or blood blisters. The other emphatic thing I would say is that the greater majority of these have happened in the first dose with minimal, if any, cases noted in the second dose.
Yeah.
So it is a rare occurrence.
You'd imagine anyway, if your system has coped well with the first dose, that you're not going to... We were talking yesterday with Luke about that they're looking for perhaps genetic markers that might predispose these very few people to having this side effect. And if you haven't had it in the first dose, you're highly unlikely to have it in the second dose because you clearly don't have those genetic markers. And let's hope the
exactly.
science vindicates...
Exactly, and I read that the European Medicines Agency are asking, have asked for a couple of groups in Europe to look at the effects of having the dose, because the problem with this vaccine is it has been too successful in the immune response that it has given. So it's something which it is an effective vaccine. We've seen the benefits happening in regard to what we previously said in regard to reducing mortality, reducing morbidity, evidence that it's reducing infection rates. And all of those are evident in certainly a lot of healthcare personnel have received the AstraZeneca vaccine, and there's been an evidence of reduced infection rates within healthcare personnel, both in Ireland and the UK and other countries.
Now, some of the text coming in, which shows like what we're, I suppose, up against in trying to get the herd immunity we so crave so we can get back to normal. Mary says, there's no difference for me between COVID and AstraZeneca. Minimal risk of catching either. Either the clot from the vaccine or getting COVID and dying from it. It still means for an individual that anybody can die from it. Mary, that's for sure. But all of us are only going to go the one way. We'd rather not go sooner. We'd prefer to go later. I'm 65 and had AstraZeneca 13 days ago. Absolutely no problem. But here's the rub. This texter says, I will not be taking a second dose. Why is it okay to give AstraZeneca to over 60s and not for everybody else? Clodagh and Cork. Well, Clodagh, that, as we heard earlier, is about risk management. If you're over 60, the impact of COVID on you, if you get it, is potentially catastrophic. So given there's a minimal risk from AstraZeneca, you're better off being vaccinated than taking your chances with COVID. Let's see. I'd rather the HSE would give the public the option to take the vaccine. And I think I mentioned that one before. But this one, absolute madness. I will be 75 next month. I have diabetes and a heart condition. I would travel to Mizenhead today for the AstraZeneca. Another one, 66, high blood pressure, diabetes, bring on Astra. I've already had and recovered from COVID. The science says I've now built up an immune system and I'm at far less risk of serious COVID. Why this obsession to push me to take a vaccine that could do more harm than good? Various views there, Ray. And really, in some way, the authorities have got to sit on this and explain to people how minimal the risk is, and I suppose allow them the discretion to weigh up that risk and act accordingly?
Certainly, the country with the biggest amount of data is the UK, and the Winton Centre for Risk and Evidence Communication have published their statistical analysis. At 55 years of age, you have a 4 in 1 million chance of serious harm due to vaccine side effects, whereas you have a 800 in a million chance of dying with coronavirus. So basically, you're talking about a 200-fold difference in risk between the vaccine and getting corona. And although somebody may say they don't want to get the vaccine, they don't want to get coronavirus, the way we are going to fight to stop the spread of coronavirus is going to be by vaccines. So we're not talking about maintaining your health now. We're talking about maintaining your health in the next 6 months to 18 months and onwards. How we eradicate viruses like this is by way of vaccines. And if we don't continue with the vaccine process, we will unfortunately be contained in our houses and contained everywhere. We will end up with more mental health problems and frailty problems and whatever. These are, in general, safe vaccines. What also people don't realize is your lifetime risk of a clot is 1 in 1,000. And if you get over 80 years of age, it's 1 in 100. So are we talking about people stopping traveling because they are not aware, possibly, that you have a high risk of getting a clot by way of an aircraft? If you go on the contraceptive pill, you have a high risk of getting a clot. Indeed, if we look at people who get pregnant, there's a higher risk of medical problems while pregnant than being on the contraceptive pill. The problem with all of this is it is a risk analysis of benefit versus risk. And the greater benefit is in taking the vaccine. And that's why the biggest front people in the queue are the medical people and the doctors and the nurses and the healthcare personnel who want to get vaccinated because they've seen the danger of COVID.
They've seen it at first hand. They've been on the front line and they have watched people suffer terribly from the effects of COVID. And we've on this program talked to people with long COVID. So even though the initial illness may not have been too debilitating, they find themselves months later in a terrible state indeed. And the possibility for them, as we've heard from Luke O'Neill before, is that there is some evidence that the vaccine actually improves the outcome of long COVID. So there's a lot of science going on, and you have added some great clarity to the risk analysis and how people should weigh up their own personal risk. Ray Whalley, North Dublin GP and member of the National COVID-19 GP Liaison Committee, thank you very much for that. And also thanks to Luke O'Neill, who was on before.
At Arizona State University, we offer a wide variety of degree programs online to match all kinds of interests and career aspirations. Programs that are taught by the same notable faculty who teach on campus and designed using innovative technology to improve learning outcomes and equip you for post-graduation success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates indicated they were promoted at work or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Find your program at asuonline.asu.edu.